Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. This is the sheltering at home Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. And yes, even in the midst, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. It is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And yes, this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. It's another beautiful day in my consciousness, and we're glad to be with you. And as you know, we are three 21st century metaphysicians who also happen to wash our hands and keep physical distance.
That's true. And it doesn't affect our virtual kitchen table whatsoever, does it?
No, that's one of the benefits of the virtualness of our kitchen table.
That's right. And so tell the folks what you do.
We have an online ministry. It is a Unity Alternative ministry called Unity Center for Universal Prosperity, and that's Y-O-U, Universal Prosperity. And the quick way to get to it is the initials of that, which is UCFYP.com. UCFYP.com. And you can also go to yourspiritualpractice.com and find our store.
Yeah, and so I've been going there a little frequently because people keep asking me, how do we get the 12 Powers book for the class I'm teaching next week? And so I have to go in, copy the link, and give it to them because it's just easier than trying to tell them how to get there. And I've learned how to paste links into documents very well now.
Yay, that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com. where you'll find my absolute word, and you'll also find my doings. And I can't say where I'm traveling around the country because I'm traveling nowhere. However, I am teaching next week. I'm teaching for Unity of Dallas, and the following week, Unity of Albuquerque. Just go to my website and you can get the information. So guys, are you ready to rock and roll?
We are ready to roll.
You are. Amen. We're looking at a very interesting article that I found on Medium. And Medium, if you search that, you'll find out that they put out a daily, a smorgasbord, you could say, pre-curated articles that are about spirituality and science. I would say how to live a better life. Would you guys add anything else to that?
They have a huge variety. You can, if you sign up with them, you can go in and pick the categories you're interested in. And they have business, they have science, they have human nature, they have relationship. It's incredible.
I haven't really looked into that as carefully as I could. So it's self-curated, and then it also must have some sort of artificial intelligence. It's based on what you look at. They start feeding you articles. And yes, folks, while we like it, we do not get any income for this unplanned advertisement. Yeah. It's just a good resource for us.
So, and you know, really, this particular resource, when you think about it, is apropos to what we're going to talk about today. It would be one of the things you would do to sharpen your mind.
It would be. So the article is how to sharpen your mind in 15 minutes a day or less every day. And I have to say, the ones I found that I'm using are a little longer than that. And it works. And that's the idea. Well, I think it's working. Still to be determined.
And we'll let the listeners decide after the show.
Right. Exactly. So we should give credit to the author. His name is Sean Kernan. The subtitle is A Rundown of a Few Great Mental Exercises to Improve Your Brain. Now, you might be asking, as we asked before each other as we got on the program, what's the connection here to what this program's about? Well, this program is about, in many ways, how science is supporting our understanding of how our brain works, which is not separate from how our consciousness works. As a reminder, the brain is the physical organ. It's like a receptor site or set, and our consciousness is our little M mind, which is, it's just how our mind works. And so they work together. And I just found this article pretty interesting. It's about our brain and how we can improve our brain, which is our receptor of our consciousness, just like a radio set. Okay, so guys, do you have anything to add to that?
Just one thing. In the dictionary, brain comes before mind, but in consciousness, mind comes before brain.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, there's a tweet.
There's another tweet. You're getting one a week, Bill. So your goal to improve your brain function and your mind function is we want to get you to two tweets a week. Okay. That would make you a tweet guy, wouldn't it?
He is tweet.
All right, but we digress. All right, one of these he suggests is a creativity drill. And he says you can do this in 5-minute bursts throughout the day. And he says, which can easily lead to a strong boost in your creativity. And I think all of us could use a boost in our creativity. The idea is you're going to think about two words that have the least amount of things in common. Two words that have the least amount of things in common. So Cher, you used to do, I think you said, a similar thing like this. Mm-hmm. So do you want to riff on this a little bit?
Sure. The technique I think this actually came out of is a creativity strategy or technique called synecdoches. And we used to use this a lot with our corporate clients in brainstorming sessions. And what you do is you identify your issue, like how can we market ourselves more effectively to our clients? That might be the issue the group's coming together. So you take the term marketing, and then you take two totally unrelated worlds, if you will. So for example, you would say, how does marketing, what are examples of marketing from the field of movies and the field of the circus? Okay, you just pull two things and you just brainstorm all the ways the word marketing relates to those industries. Then you come back to your question, how could we market better to our clients in our industry? And you look at the list of examples you came up with, like, well, they pitch a big tent and have lots of music. Well, we could have take a tent around to different sites. And I know one of our clients actually did that. They created, one of their clients came to gas stations to purchase the product. So they started getting musical groups and posting tents all around the country, sponsoring a little music event with their product at these gas stations. And so they got that idea from doing the synecdoches activity.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a type of creativity. It's a little different from this, but it's similar in that it's a mind exercise where you were using it to connect things together. But this is about what's the thing that has the least amount in common? If we think of the word marketing, then what is a word that has least in common with marketing? And it can't be not marketing, okay? So let's play with that. So what would be the thing that would be least in common with marketing? I'll go with earthworm.
I was going to say napping.
Napping, yes. Bill, do you have one?
Well, I kind of like the earthworm myself.
Yeah, the earthworm.
That definitely is.
Yeah, so.
So what do you do with that? From his description, like with the synecdoches, we're doing it to come up with a solution. Is this just trying to think of words to relate?
So here's what he says. You search your brain to go as far away from the previous word as possible. It might hurt a bit at first. It is a bit like mental weightlifting, which is the idea. And he says you can do this while you are doing other mundane tasks throughout the day, like maybe washing your dishes. So it's about using your brain to think about all the things that would be the opposite of that. And that's pulling things up. Sherry, want to add something?
Your brain. I had one other idea that this reminded me of an activity that we've done as a spiritual practice with people, is to walk around your house and point to things and call it something else. Like
wow.
You point to the piano and say, this is an ink pen. And then you look at the TV, this is a window. And you just walk around calling things opposite, or not opposite, but different, very different from what they are. And then trying to remember what you called them as you walk around the house. And it really gets your brain crazy, but it's interesting.
So we've used this years ago and I stopped using it. And it was about words and how we define words. And it was an exercise where I would flash on the screen, like the screen would now become yellow with the word red on it.
Yes.
And we'd say, read the word, and people would have a hard time reading the word because mm-hmm. they were seeing yellow.
Or the word could be in a color.
The word
we did, the words were in, like the word red was in yellow.
It was in yellow. Yeah, you know what? I think that's how it was.
Yeah.
And so that shows
that. We haven't used that for a long time either. Yeah.
Right? And it's like when we say the word God, you're thinking of a different definition of God than what we might be thinking.
Right.
And so it demonstrates how our preconceived notions can get in the way of really hearing what somebody's saying.
Yeah.
Wow. Bill, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah. And we can extend the analogy too by some businesses have actually changed the inner structure and dynamics of their business itself and created entirely new divisions with their own name. For example, with the creativity, if you get sales and marketing together to have a joint creative venture, which is going to benefit both of them, a new term came up in industry, which they are using now to identify a whole new corporate structure called smarketing.
Yeah. Smarketing. Oh, I love that.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool. Yeah. And you know, I've never liked the word divisions.
Yeah.
In terms of companies, it's just my crazy things
it's
about
counterintuitive,
work.
Isn't it?
It's counterintuitive. And I've suggested, like at Unity Village, they changed the name to components of the business rather than mm-hmm. divisions in the business.
Because
that makes sense.
Divisions get so siloed because they see themselves as separate.
Absolutely. That's a really good point.
And what's amazing is the word silo itself, when you think about silo, well, silos are pretty tall.
Yeah, right. Yes, they are. Okay, so let's move on.
There's it's obvious how that can stretch your brain, that activity we just did. It was cool.
There's use it or lose it. And he says it isn't just that mental exercises are good for improving the mind. They are good for protecting it too. Numerous studies have been conducted that reveal the importance of mental activity and aging. And we're actually going to get to one, it's called Dual and Back, a little further on, that we want to use our brains, because if we're lazy, we lose capacity. And so let's go on down. And then he says, do you even squat, bro? I love this guy has a really clever way of writing. And this is just simply about the importance of how exercising fosters brain cell growth and protects existing cells from deterioration. So if you're not exercising, you're not doing one thing you could do to maintain your brain. Mm-hmm. And this is just reminding me that in Unity, there's our threefold nature. We are body, we are mind, we are spirit. And so we could put all of these things into one of those categories, one or more categories. And since physical exercise affects the physical brain, that's still body for me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes.
And of course, there's our old friend meditation, which people chafe at. And it's just very, very, very good. And I think meditation is one that's good for all three, right? It reminds us of our oneness in one form or another. It certainly works on our consciousness, and that impacts our physical brain, and our physical brain is part of our body.
And there's so many different types of meditation too, which, you know, it's a catch-all word, but it's not just one form. There are lots of different ways you can meditate.
Yes.
And all of which will help improve your
brain. Yeah, and I would say if you are a person who's tried to meditate and can't, then go for guided meditations. You can go for the one that I do in addition to my mantra meditation is echo meditation. Just Google it, ECO meditation, echo meditation. And there's that loving kindness one. It's a Buddhist practice. Mm-hmm. And you can find
meditation. You could tie in both of those together.
Right.
Walking and you're meditating.
Walking meditation, being very aware and present. Okay, so there's that. And then there's something here about finding time. What he says is starting today, you could easily cut some of your wasteful activities and carve out 15 minutes to do something productive with your mind. that 50 minutes compounded over time and persistence could result in noticeable gains in your mental capacities. I wonder if we could say this investment of 15 minutes a day provides like a compound interest. It's compounding rather than being simple interest, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and then we get to this exercise.
So dual and back, we're going to let Paul talk about, because I'm going to be real honest. This is a suggestion for a game to play. And I tried it one time and I said, no. Paul was much, much stronger in this way. And he was able to actually try it out.
So I devoted myself. I've done it for 5 days in a row now, or 4 days in a row. And friends, this is not easy. This is not a game you play to relax. When I get done doing the 20 rounds of it, which is about 20 minutes, my brain is tired. And I keep claiming that this is going to help me. It's a little complicated to explain, so we're not going to do that. And you can just look up dual, D-U-A-L, space, capital N, dash, back. And you can, he calls it a professional grade brain training game. And this is not for the light at heart. I'm dedicating myself for doing this for a month to see what progress I have. And what it impacts is something they call fluid intelligence. And I'm just going to read this. Fluid intelligence measures how people adapt to new situations and solve problems they've never seen before. And boy, aren't we living this in spades today? We're having to adapt to new situations. We're having to problem solve in areas we've never had to problem solve. And he compares this to crystallized intelligence. Fluid intelligence differs from crystallized intelligence, which takes into account skills and knowledge that have been acquired, like vocabulary, grammar, math, and I'm going to say theology. And this is how it really connects to us. Mm-hmm. And you all know we are great proponents. This is Bill's thing. And if I get this wrong, Bill, you're going to correct me, that we're not only seeking answers to our questions, we are also questioning our unquestioned answers.
Absolutely.
So unquestioned answers are crystallized thoughts in my consciousness. I'm using this as a game to work on that. And I'm not going to say any more about that. I'm just honestly sharing that this is not a game that I'm playing for pleasure, because it really works my brain.
And I will put a link on our website.
Oh, do that.
For metaphysicalromp2.com on that website. We have a section in the menu called resources, and that's where we're putting the articles we're using. I'll put a link to this article, and I'll also put the link for the dual and back game.
Fantastic. And I'll just say that this one has a lot of science behind it. And it's especially good for older people who might be having problems with their mentation, with their brains.
So I must be too young for this game.
You're that you are way, way too young for this.
I'm thinking too, as we talk about this, the very nature of fluid intelligence, and I think Paul is on to something now that will really help people as we talk about reopening our communities, our houses, our churches, our businesses beyond this pandemic. Fluid intelligence measures how people can adapt to new situations. So we're talking here a lot about what's the new normal going to look like. This is a perfect quote-unquote game to be playing, because it's not really a game at all when you think about it.
It is not a game.
That's a good point.
It's not a game. Okay, so, and also not a game, and meant to help our consciousness and to make us aware of our divinity, is the Absolute Word. And we're pivoting to that now. The Absolute Word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Uni publication, and has been used with permission. This comes from Sunday, April 19th, 2020. The word is understanding, and this really should be understanding and wisdom. It should be understanding, wisdom, and will, since we're always talking about how those three work together. But let's just go with it. I guide myself using the powers of understanding and wisdom. When I feel frustrated by a personal or professional challenge, or feel unsafe or concerned about a situation or event, I call on my power of understanding to know and my power of wisdom to evaluate what I know. I open my heart when I seek to understand. I gather more information and request the advice to someone I trust. When I am in conflict with somebody, I practice understanding my listening with a curious mind and loving heart. I grow in spiritual understanding when I discern and heed my inner guidance. Beyond conscious thought, spiritual principles begin to illuminate my consciousness. I release all that stands in the way of understanding and stand firm in the love that calls it forth. I guide myself using the powers of understanding and wisdom. And so it is. And friends, thank you for listening to Metaphysical Romp 2. I had fun. I trust Bill and Cher had fun. Thank you, guys.
We did. We had a great time. And we just see everyone playing wonderful games this week as they stretch their brain.
Yes.
Amen. Goodbye, all.
Bye.